Hello.
Hello, Alessandro, good morning.
Thank you for your time and presentation. I have some questions. The first one is about China. So we are talking about China for years. I would like to better understand what it's changing now versus in the past. What are you doing? And if your growth strategy is supported by local products. So you stated clearly, and in my opinion, correctly, that in the US you need local products for the US market. So in order to penetrate China, probably you need local products. So I would like to better understand your strategy there, and then if you can share some, target in terms of sales for the Chinese market by 2023. My second question is about M&A strategy. You acquired Eversys, 60 million euros sales producer. YMF is probably 10 times bigger. So I would like to better understand your ambition over there in this market in professional coffee. So it's your target to be number three, number four in the market, or it's more smooth the process? And finally, on the kitchen machine side, you had, if I am not wrong, 240 million sales in 2020 versus a peak of sales of 2008 in 2015. So I would like to better understand what are the drivers now in the kitchen machine space in order to support these, extraordinary turnover that you executed in 2020? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe if I may. No, thank you, Alessandro, for the question. Going to the first one, China. China represents for us obviously an important target. The way in which we want to play is not necessarily what is the strategy in the US. We see here two important drivers. The first one is again what we can propose in terms of coffee and coffee machine. And as you know, China has been a very successful market for the out-of-home coffee. So there is in the middle class more and more understanding of what means in terms of experience, not only the coffee, but all the beverage related to that. And we think we have a strong proposition, and we have also the right products that will fit for this overall beverage experience and not necessarily on the specific coffee. With our machine, and we plan to do it, but we plan to do it also in strong collaboration. And there we made a quite important investment also on the digital side with big partners in customer, obviously in China that are working the usual name that are working the digital in the digital field. So what we have been refining in 2020, where we had a significant growth, is on one side, we have a better understanding on the product in the coffee area that we have to push and to where we have to focus in the future. We have a better support in terms of AP, especially on the digital marketing side. And we have an endorsement coming from the larger player and in the digital space and e-commerce space in China. This is the way in a nutshell, let's say, on which we want to capitalize in the future. And you know that China lifestyle in China and European lifestyle in China is very important, and the appreciation for the European lifestyle is very important. And I think there is also space for us. What we are looking in China is for a growth, but a profitable growth. And therefore, you know, we are not going to for sure compete on the low end of regional product in China. This is not our strategy. There will be a space for De'Longhi, as I mentioned, on the coffee. There will be a space also for Braun in China, which we are developing new product dedicated, but always coming out from our Braun portfolio. And also there we see good support. Brand recognition of Braun in China is very strong. And therefore, you know, the ambition is really to capitalize on that. Talking about M&A, we make our way. You know, we start in this market where there are obviously other players with an acquisition that we believe is very differentiating in terms of technology, is smaller. And we are happy that, you know, we can start fresh and we can develop further. That will be part of our plan, similarly to what we did with our MTP for the group De'Longhi. We are, as soon as we can, and we have the majority of the stake, sit down to prepare our employees also in this area. I think, you know, it's not only a matter of size, but it's also a matter of distinctiveness of the technology and positioning of the company. The company, Eversys, is very well positioned in the high end of the market. And the combination with De'Longhi, that has a very strong industrial footprint, could offer additional opportunity. But if you allow me, since we have not yet concluded, we need some months before we can come back on that. But again, respecting choices from other players or from the competition, we believe that this has been a perfect fit with our strategy, and we are very happy with the move. Talking about the kitchen machine, here what I can say is, the overall kitchen machine has been a business that has been always growing in a compound way. We also have to understand, in my opinion, that there are obviously different patterns of growth in across several years. Now there are obviously an acceleration on that. I think that our proposition with Kenwood is perfectly fitting with the need of the consumer and the new trend that is coming from the need to use more fresh ingredients to prepare good product and good meals with a real nutritional value. And also the way in which we present it is offer a very wide opportunity for more food lovers around the world to prepare faster and easy, high-end, experiences. So this is a bit the way in which we believe that there is an opportunity for us to continue to grow, obviously fueled by new products launches and fueled by more investment to support the brand, especially in the key markets. And we have seen also what we did, not only last year, but also at the end of 2019. When we do that, there is an immediate reaction. And we believe that the fact that we gain market share in all the most important geographies in Europe and the Middle East is also due to this, revamped strategy on investing on the brand.
Okay, thank you. On the product, just a last point, very quick. Do you have in pipeline some brand new technology products like Prima Donna Soul? So I don't want to know the name, but just to know if you have something in pipeline.
We cannot, obviously, as you can imagine, comment specifically on that. Maybe I have Fabrizio just in 1 minute giving you a bit the direction where we are going with our MPD for Kenwood.
Yeah, of course, as Massimo said, of course, there is a lot of things cooking in our kitchen, which for obvious reasons we cannot share, when it comes to new innovation. Maybe this question gives me a good opportunity to talk about one recent innovation which was already launched at the end of the last year together with Prima Donna Soul. So, but in the food preparation space, is called Kenwood Chef Pâtissier. And already in the name, the innovation is so important that we put it already in the name, starting with the consumers. We started with a very relevant segment of consumers that are preparing cakes at home. If you visit Instagram, you can understand how important is that segment. And that product is coming with an innovation, which is not about delivering things that were already present in the market in a better way, but is something that was not really present on the market, which is the warming function. The warming function is super important for people preparing cakes for pâtissier at home, because it's a function that enables you to prove your dough in a better way, also in a more efficient way. You can reduce the proving time by one third. You can melt chocolate. You can prepare beautiful cakes, and this is very, very, very important. So I think this is something we launched last year and will bring us, you know, very strong results this year. This is our expectation. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Hello?
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 Yeah, hello. Yeah. Hi.
Hello. Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my my questions. Three. To be clear, the first one is on again on Eversys. We have noticed a big jump in turnover since the acquisition of your first 40%. And so, I was wondering if you can give us some more insight on the evolution of turnover in the past year, in particular in light of Eversys exposure. Probably to the Horeca market, and also expectations that you have going forward. The second one is on NutriBullet. And so I was wondering in your targets of cooking and kitchen equipment expansion, if you were factoring in also, and how much, if yes, of NutriBullet expansion into European markets, where at the moment the product is not present yet. And the very last question is on the fact that you started selling your products via your websites. And so here a comment on how you plan to balance this direct presence with presence in retail stores or retailers, and how they basically took this decision of yours to go direct, if some frictions have emerged. Thank you.
If I may, yeah, I can comment on that. But on Eversys, as you know, yeah, we are at the moment in a position in which, in order to go deeper in on that, we need to first have the final signing. And therefore, you know, I ask you a bit to be patient on that, to go more into the details. What I can say is that, they had a good progression. Obviously, you know, this year, especially, will be a year of transition for all the industry, because already in the second semester of last year, you know, obviously there was a bit of slowdown. But we have seen that, for example, Eversys, also thanks to their positioning and the geographies where we are playing with a good presence in Asia and so on, they were already restarting. And, you know, being Asia, very important market for Eversys. But obviously, our plan is a bit more for the future. So I want to use this year, as soon as we close, as soon as we can really enter in the management of the company, or, you know, collaborating with the management of the company in a more effective way. We want to prepare the next year ahead of us. And there we see really an opportunity for us, combining the Eversys as it is today, with their positioning, with the strong technology and know-how that they have, with the De'Longhi manufacturing footprint, could offer other opportunities, and also obviously all the commercial network around the world can support. So if you allow me, I will be back soon with that, as soon as we can disclose a bit more of the collaboration that we will have once we are fully in control of Eversys. What I can already tell you, important, the management, so the CEO and the chief commercial officer and the R&D team and operations of the team, we stay with De'Longhi. They see big opportunity to be with us, and we will collaborate further, obviously making all the necessary adjustments and changes to, you know, to make it a bigger business for our group. Talking about NutriBullet, in reality, I have to say, we have not completely factored in what it could be a possible expansion. in the sense that we have simulated what we can see today. But as you know, since we took over the company basically only 2 months ago, we are now preparing the plan. We see some nice numbers coming out of that. We are still validating certain opportunities. The initial focus will be on the online and digital, but probably there will be additional opportunity also in the traditional customer and so on. So to answer to your question, will be not possible, obviously, to give a final answer. Would not be possible to already factor in the numbers because we are still on working on as I speak. We see a very encouraging opportunities, and we will be able to, you know, be more firmer with that, I guess, in the second part of the year, also once this preparation exercise is finalized. Talking about e-commerce, I have a personal opinion that is also coinciding with the group opinion. We believe that there is a space for our e-commerce in the digital world. It's not conflicting with what we do with our traditional customer, to whom we give a full support to develop their digital channels. Is not conflicting with e-retailers, where we are working very closely to develop the business, including offering new product, new things, and so on. There is a space for us. There are consumers that they want to have a direct contact with in this case, with the manufacturer. We give an answer to that. We do it in a smart way without, destroying value for anybody. Is our e-commerce also a source of additional information for the consumer? And I believe that this is something on which we have to invest further, will not be damaging other businesses, because we will continue to support the other customer. But again, the digital world is not one. There are a lot of different different way to reach the consumer on digital. One of them, for a company that believe as a very strong brand, is also in a D2C, so direct to consumer, exposing ourselves directly to the consumer. We are getting really a lot of traction on that. Also, I believe, thanks to the investment that we are doing on the brand. The conversation we are having with all the other customers are very constructive. Very happy to see that we are investing, very happy to see that we are adding new product, very happy to see that we are focusing on innovation. So far, Nicolò, I have to say, we are managing in a very professional way, in a very proper way, all these channels.
Thank you. Maybe a very short follow-up on this last answer. If you can tell us how much of your revenues are currently coming for your DTC sales, and also if you can comment a bit about the pricing. I mean, it is the same as the one that I can find in a normal retailer.
Maybe I leave it 1 second to Filippo, that he can give you.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the e-commerce performance on the fiscal year we just closed, it goes in the range of 1.5% contribution of the overall revenues. For the letter, if Nicolò can reiterate the questions.
On pricing, the pricing is aligned to the one that I can find at a normal retailer, or are we offering discounts or lower prices, or I don't know.
I think it followed the lines of what Massimo Garavaglia just said. So we are not competing versus the trade ends. We are not having a price that can be perceived in direct competition. Is actually instead a mean to support our commercial policy. And we are trying to accumulate our offering instead on offering to our customer a new entry point into our brand product. And as Fabrizio shared, has to do with the machine, has to do with the product, but you can find our digital properties, recipes for food, for coffee. You can explore the roaster storytelling, the different beans. So what we're offering is a brand, a full ecosystem, both in the coffee and the food arena.
Thank you.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, first, thanks for the presentation, very clear and insightful. So I've got three questions. The first one on the coffee machine market in Europe. So we have seen this strong growth in past years, and looking at your guidance, it seems that you expect quite a good momentum going forward. So what are the main drivers behind that? Are there any figure in terms of espresso machine and notably full automatic machine market penetration in Europe that could support that growth? And going forward, should we expect the growth of coffee machine in Europe to be mostly driven by mix, or you see even some volume growth opportunity there? Second question on the coffee machine again, but this time in the US. We talk about coffee in the US for years. Are there real evidences that the espresso segment in the US is accelerating? What sort of sales are you generating today with coffee machine in the US, and what could be the objective in the mid to long term? And last question on the other categories, so the home comfort, floor care, ironing, etc. Do you consider them still as core categories in the company? And what is the current impact of those categories on the return on capital employed? And could you decide at some point to reduce the exposure of one or multiple of those categories to reallocate the resources behind the key core categories?
Yeah, no, thank you very much for the question. Maybe on the first one, the coffee for Europe, I will leave maybe also Paul commenting. What I can say just before I leave to Paul, is I mentioned before, penetration today of the fully automatic, for example, in the households in Europe is still on the low level, despite the big growth in the past year. That's why definitely on volume, there is an opportunity. When I talk about Europe, I talk about Western and Eastern Europe. At the same time, we have seen that there is an opportunity for De'Longhi take a higher share in the higher price segment. Primadonna Sole that was presented is an example on that. It was mentioned, by the way, the full auto market in France being, you know, a big growth in a big growth for the past years and also in 2020 and still as I speak. These are examples that will be a lot about us, a lot about our communication, a lot about us being able to explain to the consumer the advantage to have a fully auto, but the markets are ready, and I think that there is a big opportunity for us on that. By the way, I jump then, I leave it to Paul, but the same reflection is for the US. The market is ready to talk about espresso, to talk about coffee in general with the fully automatic, and that's what we want to capitalize on. I don't know, Paul, if you want to
really want. Just to answer your first question, you asked the question if it's about a change of mix, or is it a change of, or do we expect also volume growth? So it's both. The first point is that the still in Europe, even if it's a mature, we consider it mature market, the penetration is still relatively low in many of the markets in Europe of home espresso. So we still see opportunities for growth. That's why we're investing in advertising, promotions and advertising support to drive penetration. So opportunity to grow volume from that point of view. Also, we see a shift from, in some markets, like France, for example, a shift from single serve coffee, capsule coffee to fully automatic and pump espresso category. So we also see trading up in the categories as consumers, you know, really explore in a meaningful way the coffee experience. Coffee is not just a drink and a beverage you have in the morning. It's something also to be experienced. And this ties in with our product development when we talk about adaptive bean technologies and the things that Fabrizio and Nicola spoke about. So we see both bean drivers in increasing the household penetration, but also a shift from simpler coffee machines to more complex coffee machines, fully automatic and pump espresso.
Good. Yeah, maybe Nicholas, on the US quickly, we see the opportunity, we see the sales growing also as I speak in this quarter, first quarter of the year. What is, we have, of course, we've been working on that for several years. Now we are stepping up both in terms of additional investment to support the brand, the Longhi in coffee. We need to enlarge, obviously, the category of the full automatic. That's what we are interested in. We want to focus also on the pump that are going very, very nicely. US is the biggest coffee market in the world in terms of coffee consumption. There is obviously a lot of this out of home, but we see more and more an interest to have an experience also at home. And facilitated by obvious reasons that we know, but some of these habits are gonna stay. People will spend also in the future proportionally more time at home, and they want to have the experience, the coffee experience at home. We are ready to enter the market in the future with proposition that will meet the need with the American consumer, remaining close, obviously, to our technology, and I think it's something on which you know we are working on. Is a long play. So what we have for the US, as I said, and that's a sense of our medium term plan, is a long play, is a long term play, is a medium term play, and yeah, we are very committed with additional investment both on the brand and on the product range. To grow in the US, and definitely this is the ambition that we have. Finally, on the home categories, we have a presence there. We want to keep it. It was mentioned by Fabrizio that, by the way, we were holding or increasing even our share in this area in the past. We see the comfort, a place where we are very happy, and where we took a very nice share in the premium position, both in the American and the European market, has been growing nicely. We want to continue to support it. We have innovation also coming in on that side with a new season of this year. And for the home care, we are playing with the ironing, mainly with the brown product. We want to continue to do it. No intention to slow down our effort. We want to retain our share, and we want to retain our presence in the market. So there is no disposal or no reduction in effort in any sense.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot. Maybe one follow-up question on the A&P spending. So you said in your midterm margin guidance that you expect further increase. We know that you plan an increase in 2021 by around 100 basis points, if I'm not wrong. Should we expect even further increase in the year ahead? Or do you think that once you are at 13 to 14%, it will be the right level of investment?
On that, again, to me, adding in percentage on the total sales means to add more firepower. So, you know, the first step is important in the direction that I communicated the other time. So adding 100 basis points. If you allow me, Nicolas, here, we feel comfortable with that. We think it's an important step forward. For sure, we want to maintain it. Additional increase will depend, in our opinion, on how certain initiatives that we are planning in the market will react. What I can tell you is, again, also here, is a medium-term plan. So we are not thinking to do it and then, you know, to change our strategy. So we position ourselves at that level that we think is a sustainable level to, you know, develop the plan that we have in mind. If then we need to adjust it slightly, depending on the circumstances, depending on the reaction, the reactivity to the market, to our investments, we will discuss it, and that will be the first one to eventually communicate. To answer to your question, maybe in a very synthetic way, I think that the level that we are reaching now in 2020, in our opinion, is a level that allows us to do well and to have the right firepower to support the growth and to support the launches of the new product that we have in our pipeline.
Okay, that's very clear. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hiya, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Lawrence.
Hiya. Thanks very much for today, guys. Really, really interesting. Just a couple from me. So I think if I take the guidance for 2021 already and then sort of use the 2023 guidance, I'm getting something like 4 to 7% top line growth after, you know, in those 2 years. Is that a good way of thinking about, I guess, midterm growth in the business? You know, do you think that's a sustainable growth level? Secondly, just on 2023, could you give an idea of how much of sales you think would be through e-commerce in that year? And finally, just to be super clear, is Eversys included in the guidance for 2023? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe to go first on the second one, just to clarify for all of us, no, Eversys is not included, also because, you know, as I said, we mentioned it because, you know, we reached an agreement, but we are not yet in full control till the moment in which officially there will be the transfer of share that will happen in the next month. So I really need to be a bit careful on how I speak about Eversys, so, but I will make sure that I provide all the necessary information as soon as we can do it. Therefore, is not included in the guidance that you have seen, in the numbers that you have seen. Talking about you know, this year and 23, the way in which we've been thinking, because we've been preparing our plan, it is to look at the medium term. So this is an ambition that we give to ourselves. And as I said, when we say 10, 12, including Capital Brands, mid, high single digit, on a comparable basis, we believe that is a solid plan that is taking in consideration also our ambition to deliver on the bottom line and our ambition to continue to invest to support the business even further than 23. So this is the way in which we do it. Obviously, will be our care to you know, adapt wherever it is necessary the information on the progression of our business. But what I wanted to give you, it was a bit the perspective on the medium long term, so that we have also for all of us and for all us and you guys that are following us a bit of vision of what we want to do. So these are the numbers that are getting out. Obviously, the pattern of growth between quarters, maybe even years, can be different. But the ambition of the plan is that one. And you know, obviously, we do it in a context where many uncertainties remain. So, you know, we need to, in a certain way, in the equation, factor it in. But the ambition of the group is to continue to grow. And if you allow me, and I hope it came across in terms of important manager, there is an ambition to continue to invest, to support our growth and to expand the penetration of our product and to expand our business geographically. These are very important points because our choices for the long run, and we believe is the right approach for a company, entrepreneurial company like De'Longhi. Was mentioned before, if I'm not wrong, by Fabrizio, it was the same way of thinking that we have used this year in the middle of the crisis and so on. We decided with all the team, we stick to our plan. We maintained investment on the brand. We maintained investment for the launches of the new product. We maintained investment in our plants and in our supply chain. So this is the way of thinking. And obviously then the pattern of certain things being growth, being other things and so on, can be different quarter by quarter. But again, this is, I think, part of, you know, business as usual, if you allow me.
Thank you very much. Really clear. Thanks again for the presentation.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Hope you can hear me properly. Just a couple of questions from my side. If we look at numbers after the consolidation of Capital Brands, you now have some 50% of your sales coming from coffee, one third of business from food preparation, and the balance from comfort. I was wondering, is this turnover mix something which is ideal for you, or looking at 2023, you would like, for instance, to be more exposed to coffee? Just wondering, which is your ideal mix looking at the next 3 to 5 years? The second question is on your comments on market multiples. Just wondering if you can share the levels you are seeing, for instance, in coffee makers and in food preparation right now, and if your M&A policy has any kind of a threshold in terms of multiples to be paid.
Maybe, Isaac, before I go to these two questions, they told me here in the room that there was a question related to the e-commerce. E-commerce percentage on revenues.
No, e-commerce, the penetration.
The penetration
fully out in Europe is a question made by Alessandro Cecchini.
The
penetration fully out on Europe. Alessandro posta the question on the chat. And Fabrizio Campanella take the stage.
So penetration, as anticipated, is very, very low in most of the countries. We are talking about numbers that are below 10%, with just a couple of exceptions in Europe, below 10%. And in some cases, we are really talking about low single digits. So, I mean, either it is 3%, 6%, or something that range. Still, this speaks about a huge opportunity to increase the penetration at home. Having said that, people are drinking espresso. They are just not preparing espresso with full auto machines, starting with fresh beans and at home. So this is something that is a big opportunity for us.
And overall, we can tell that Europe is in the space of mid single digit.
5%.
Alessandro, only to highlight that is in terms of quantity, not in terms of value. As
of course,
know, the value of a fully automatic machine is completely different.
Okay, so now, Isacco, thank you for the question. Maybe, quickly on the first one. But we, in order to, I remind that in order to reach this level of coffee, there was a huge growth starting basically from scratch. In the past year, so has been a tremendous organic growth in the coffee area, reaching now this level, and this one makes us very happy. And as you heard from the presentation, we still see opportunities in this field. The composition of the portfolio at this level for us makes a lot of sense if you see how we have. Put together our medium-term plan that is focused exactly in these two categories for growth. We want to grow them both. Obviously, this is a big ambition that we have in front of us. I would like to be clear, and in our temple of the MTP, you see it, there is a space also for innovation. So if we are, as De'Longhi, and the company has been proven in the past history, it will always develop new things. So we are not stepping out of that, DNA of, evolving and eventually introducing new things that will not be strictly coffee, will not be strictly food. Obviously, the priority will always remain in the next year, because we want to have a flawless execution of what we want to do in coffee and food. The percentage may vary if we identify opportunity also in other area. I want to leave open that message, because it's not in contrast with the execution that we want to have in coffee and food, but it's a bit in the genetics of the company to keep a window open toward the innovation, the introduction of new technology and new products. That's why I answered before, our presence in comfort, our presence in home is not in contradiction with the rest of the business that we want to do. But again, to answer to your question, we like very much, and it was a big effort of the company in the past several years to have developed now a strong presence in coffee, 50%, and the other strong big leg in a premium food preparation proposition. Now, talking about the multiple, my comment was more about today a kind of volatility that we have been seeing that in the multiple and the evaluation of the company coming from this situation of the pandemic. Also because the results of certain company obviously has been severely affected by the situation. In other cases, it was also, it was more about the disruption coming into the market that makes very difficult, sometimes to have, to enter in a conversation with a meaningful you know, comparable basis coming from the past, because certain things have been a bit disrupted by the situation. No, we don't have today, we don't have a threshold in terms of multiple. Our threshold is, as I mentioned before, is in terms of return of the investment, that if I may, I translate with what I always say, that is a value creation on the long term. So if, you know, is, and that's not something, the multiple can be lower, can be higher, but if we identify opportunity of fitting with our strategy, that will imply that we can boost the value creation for the long, on the medium long term, at that point in time, it makes a lot of sense for us and will not be depending strictly by the multiple. And to answer to maybe to that, to give a bit another element to that, always we will be ready to pay if they make sense market multiple, if this second condition, that is a value creation for us medium long term, is met. So this is a bit how I would like to comment on your question.
Okay, very clear, thanks.
I guess it was previously a question on the projected relevance of the e-commerce out of the total group business by the exit plan. That's projected in the range between 3% and 5%. That's what is in the plan. Clearly, we might expect along the way some potential upside that we can capture.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good morning. First of all, thank you for the presentation, really very wide and deep. So my first question is on the production platform. So could you please remind us the current production footprint split between Europe and China, and what will look like once the 100 million euro extraordinary capex will be deployed? And related to that, these extra capex are related to insourcing the Capital Brands production? And if yes, do you expect any material synergies stemming from that? And my second question is on the food preparation business. According to my calculation, if I carve out the Capital Brands deal, the growth of this division on an organic base is basically flat. Is that correct? And finally, my last question is on the free cash flow generation. Also, including dividends, cash outflows, by the end of 2023, the cash stockpile could be huge, with a net cash position almost three times bigger than last year. So do you have, let's say, a deadline to decide whether to go for a jumbo dividend or to a material increase in the 40% payout ratio? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe, if I may, before I leave the word to Nicola, that will give you a bit more information on the manufacturer. But I take now the last two questions, if you allow me. Now, on the food preparation, you know, we commented on a growth that we see on the double digit side. Luca, if you allow me, the way in which we will see our food preparation will include Capital Brands and NutriBullet that will play a role in our portfolio, and therefore, you know, we need to put in the portfolio NutriBullet. We will make the right choices also for the presence that we have with the other brands. Obviously, saying double digit on that, maybe there will be opportunity to come back more in details in that area. Means still to grow with the rest of the portfolio, but very important still to grow from a big growth that we already have experienced in the past year with a huge acceleration in that area. So we want to retain that grow and develop it. And at the same time, we want to establish our NutriBullet in our portfolio in the area where it's very meaningful, and also grow with that, making sure that we continue to grow double digit in in the era. So it's on both sides, I think, a growth, but we can come back maybe much more in details into that. For what is concerning the net financial position, the way in which we see it, I was explaining that. As mentioned, we want to use it as a remuneration for our shareholder, for the people obviously that will be with us in the journey, in this medium term plan. But also, we want to look at opportunity, and I mentioned growth enhancer, so slash external opportunity to continue to accelerate our growth, and obviously for that we will need cash. We don't have a deadline for the allocation of the additional cash, but we are very active in looking at the opportunity to use it in a way that is meaningful, as we did with the last two moves, meaningful for the strategy of our group. I don't want to have a deadline because I don't think we should have pressure, but we should do it in line with our criteria. And our criteria is, as I said, fitting the strategy, value creation on the long term, and very selective in buying the assets. But again, we are active. We are looking into the market. We are talking with different parties. And you know, as part of the capital allocation, obviously the M&A we present, and I hope that in the last months we have shown, we present definitely a focus. And as soon as we have more information in that direction, obviously we will come back and we will pass you the information. If you allow me, I transfer the other two questions that are more on the operation side to Nicola. Please, Nicola.
Okay, thank you, Massimo. About our, sourcing and manufacturing platform, I would say that as of today, there is the sourcing base is a bit in equilibrium from a finished goods manufacturing sourcing point of view between Europe and China. We have, while the outsourced part is counted for around one third of the total value, a bit squeezed on China side, but still with some sourcing also in Europe. I would say that the 100 and plus extra investments that we have mentioned are allocated still in a balanced way, probably a bit more in Europe, something like it can be 60-40. At the end, we have a trajectory where the outsourced dependence from suppliers could be reduced because of our fastest growing categories are the ones that are produced in our factories. Specifically for NutriBullet, I would say that we do not have a strategy for insourcing NutriBullet at this stage. Nevertheless, we are looking for synergies in terms of component strategy, because blending is a large category for the Braun brand, is a motorized product, is a large category for Kenwood. And motors are part, just to make an example, are parts also of the fully autos. Every fully auto has two motors. So there are large synergies, opportunities in terms of components and not just in terms of sourcing the category.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Francesco, please go on.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. And thanks for the presentation this morning, very insightful. And I have just a couple of questions, since a lot of questions have been already answered. The first one is on the professional coffee machines. Not talking about MNCs, but which kind of magnitude of the business you think is needed to capture the full potential of this segment of this business? And then secondly, if you can comment on the recent rumors that they saw you in the press and close to some other players, some Italian players in the professional coffee machine. And then I have another question is on the innovation focus you mentioned before. Could be something also related to the component side of the ancillary business you have, meaning that something you could invest in the sourcing or just in some components, high technology components that could be ancillary to the other part of the business. And if I may, a third one is just on competition. If you can just give us an idea on the current situation, current environment of competition, which are the most aggressive players and in which areas. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Francesco. Maybe on the professional, if you allow me, also due to the transaction that is not yet finished, I would like to be a bit more, give you a bit more educated answer in the due time where we can, after we spend a bit more time also with our new team of Eversys, and where we have prepared a bit more work. There is more work done to prepare our medium-term plan for that business. As I said before, we see it obviously very synergic with what we are doing at De'Longhi, because it's another leg in the coffee that is a business that obviously we know very well. In terms of magnitude, we will come back on that. We need to we'll give you time. But obviously, for us, if it represents an opportunity, it has to be an opportunity that is scalable. When I say scalable, it has to be something that is meaningful for us on top line, but also always having an eye on the bottom line and the generation and the value generation of the business. But if you allow me that, Francesco, we need really a bit of time because, again, we are not yet finalized. We are not yet fully in control. But I promise we will come back on with all the information on that. On the innovation, what you mentioned, my answer is if it is interesting, if it makes sense, if it offers an opportunity to differentiate our proposition also through specific components or proprietary technology that we can introduce in our product, the answer is yes. I mean, we will not see. What I mentioned before is when we look a bit at innovation in a very wide space, considering also models, digital, can be components. So the answer to your point is yes, we want to have an open mind in looking at innovation to create more value for the consumer of De'Longhi. So yeah, if there is an opportunity coming in on that side, we will be very glad to look at it. On the competition, we are very respectful for our competitor. And we see obviously dynamic, dynamism, a lot of activity in the market, and we are very happy with that. And we like to compete in a market that is very dynamic. And if the competition is helping to attract and expand the category, is very important. We have chosen a way to compete market that is a lot about innovation, premiumness, technology associated to the scale that we have for the product where we want to focus ourselves, that are the pillar of our medium-term plan. We don't want to do it on the price. I mentioned that our commercial policy is very strict, and we don't want to have a margin erosion and compete in the market with the price, and we want to add more on our own communication, because we believe that our brand are fantastic brand, high awareness in geographies around the world, and they deserve to be supported properly. So this is the way in which we want to play. Then other companies, they will do their choices, but we have a clear way forward for us, and we want to stick, we want to walk as we talk, and yeah, that's what we have chosen.
Thank you very much. If I may, just a very quick one on the numbers. If there's something that we should be considering in the phasing of your targets in 2022 and 2023, both on revenues or in margins expansion.
On this one, I can take it. My point is was exactly to the medium-term plan to give the ambition that we have in the medium-term horizon. We have just given a guidance for 21. As soon as we will have the opportunity to come back a bit more on 22, we will do. For the time being, our view is, to give a bit in front of us, for all of us, the view of what we want to reach in the 3 years' time, and progressively, adjust ourselves to the needs. So we have not, I would not yet go into the, split, because we just gave the 21. As soon as we can give a bit more on the split for the rest of the years, we will do with pleasure and time. Maybe we are even late, but really, again, a big thank to all of you for attending, for your participation, always very constructive participation. I hope that you enjoyed our presentation and the conversation, and you had also a better, possible, even more, let's say, even more understanding and feeling of where we are today currently, and what we want to do in the future. And also, I hope you appreciate the quality of the work that we are putting together, also with the people that are here represented, are reporting to me here, that are representing our team management. But I assure you that the same passion and determination that I hope you could experience in the way in which the people were presenting today, you find it in all the rest of the De'Longhi group, that on that side, has something unique. And I truly believe also being a new joiner, let's say, has been a factor of success for so many years in the company, and a big factor of success in turning all the difficulties in opportunities during the 2020, very, very challenging year. Thank you again. And we will talk very soon again. Thank you very much.